How many of y'all ready for part one of this series? Y'all ready? Y'all ready to get real? Come on. All right. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to go to the book of Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verses 1 through 2. Big shout out to all of our teams who are serving today, our worship team, our kids team, our welcome team, and our host team, our online team, our production team. Y'all, that technology back there been giving them a fit all day. But y'all see this thing up on the screen? That means it's working right now. Shout out to the production team for being so faithful and so grateful for them helping us to be able to continue to get the gospel out in different ways. But Psalm 127, verse 1, here's what it says. I need us to listen in and lean in. Unless the Lord, everybody say the Lord. Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. In vain. Everybody say vain. You get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food. Yes, he gives sleep to the one he loves. Verse 1, unless the Lord builds a house. Unless the Lord builds a house. Its builders labor over it in vain. I want to preach to start this sermon series, and I want to call part one of our series, The Blueprint, and I want to call today's message, This Ain't Working. Can you look at the person beside you and ask them, hey, family, relationships working in your life? Find somebody else and say, hey, family, I'm going to be real. I don't know if it's working. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us, that you would give us clarity, give us wisdom, give us understanding. Give us eyes to hear, eyes to see, and ears to hear. Give us a heart that is humble to receive. Would you remove distractions and anything that would get in the way of us receiving the implanted word that can transform our lives? In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat for all that God has done. This isn't working, or in my translation, this ain't working. Now, family, I want to start off this sermon today by sharing something that recently took place in my life this week. Many of you all know when I was preaching last week, I shared how I was having some difficulties with my hearing, and my ear was kind of having some issues. It was clogged, and it was clogged for a number of days, and was thinking and hoping that if we get unclogged on its own and did all these different home remedies, we did ear drops and all that different type of stuff, it didn't work. And then I finally did a televisit doctor online, and I was telling him what's going on, and he was essentially saying that it sounded like I had an ear infection. Now, for me, that's new because I've never had an ear infection in my life. I don't know what that feels like, don't know anything about that. But in that moment, he said I had an ear infection, so he wrote me a prescription, said follow these instructions. I want you to go to Walgreens, get this antibiotic, this amoxicillin, take this for the next few days. It should clear up. Tuesday comes, I take the prescription. Tuesday comes, Wednesday comes, Thursday comes, Friday comes. My ear is still clogged up. One of the things that I did not read in the instructions was he also put in there an addendum. He said, if the condition does not clear up in 24 hours, go seek medical attention. It was Friday, and I did not read that. Just took the prescription. But I remember Friday, as I'm literally working on my sermon, I'm like, yo, this is not giving way at all. Something has to be going on. And now, you know, obviously your mind starts to wonder, you know, and wander. You start thinking worst case scenario. Come on, some of y'all know what I'm talking about, because when things start to happen, you go down this little rabbit hole, and you start thinking doomsday scenarios. Start thinking, okay, is my hearing gone? And am I going to lose my ear? All these other types of things or whatever. So I finally go to urgent care, and I get seen by the first person, and she's kind of taking all my information, all the vitals and stuff like that. And then the main nurse comes in there, and she tells me, she's asked, Mr. Jones, what's the problem? I was like, yeah, so I'm having some issues like with my ear. I can hear, but it's really, really clogged. And she's like, okay, cool. So she takes her scope. She looks on my ear, both ears. She says, oh, I see your problem. It's full of nothing but wax. I said, how? Like, I mean, I try to clean my ears somewhat consistently. I'm not a savage, but I just don't touch them at all, you know? And one of the things that she said, well, she said, do you use your AirPods a whole lot? I was like, nah, I do that. And I got some new ones, and they go all the way in your ear. She said, that's your problem. It's pushing everything in, and it's causing massive amounts of wax buildup. She said, this is not a problem. I'm an expert in this. I can do this all the time. She says, all I'm going to do is I'm going to take this little irrigation type of technique, and I'm going to spray some water in your ear. It's going to be really warm, and it's going to be a lot of pressure, but it's going to do the job. This doesn't sound exciting to me. So she says, you got to get this cup, hold this cup right here, bend your head here. And she puts the tube in my ear, and all I feel in here is just water going in here, and I'm leaning this way. She said, don't lean into it now. I say, but it hurts, but it's helping you. Lean into it. And so as she's literally pressing all this water and this high pressure in here, literally I can hear stuff coming out of my ear. And then she finally shows me what's in there. She said, that is what was in your ear. Y'all, it was some earwax about this big. I said, oh my gosh. I was thinking about taking a picture, but I was like, I'm not gonna take a picture. You know, just leave it right there. Here's what was crazy. She was like, Mr. Jones, that's not even the ear that you were talking about you can't hear out of. So then she takes the other one and she puts it here in this ear. She said, this is going to be a little uncomfortable, but I promise you it's going to get better. So she does that whole process again. All of a sudden, stuff just starts. This all falls out. And it's all in this little bucket of water and all this different types of stuff. She says, just sit there for a few moments, let the water dissipate, and tell me what you feel. And I'm sitting there like this. And I'm like, I'm hearing everything. I'm hearing stuff I've never heard before. I literally feel like I have a brand new set of ears. Like I got Beats headphones. Y'all don't want to talk about them noise-canceling headphones? Where you hear everything. My ears were so clear. Y'all, when I went to the barbershop yesterday, they were having a conversation on the other side of the barbershop. And my man Tony was like, yo, fam, you heard that? What kind of peripheral hearing you got? I got new ears now, though. So I hear everything. But what was interesting, family, I said all that to say what was interesting was that the original doctor gave me some instructions and said, follow these. This didn't work. Some of y'all are like, that's why I don't go to the doctor now, because they don't ever get it right. Don't do that. Go to the doctor. But it was interesting because I was following one set of instructions and took that medicine. It wasn't working. Then finally going there, other doctor sees exactly what's going on. They clear it out. But what was interesting, y'all, I could still hear out of this ear prior to all the cleaning happening, but it was not hearing clearly. My hearing was functioning, but it was not functioning properly. And it caused me to think about this. How many of us are functioning in the area of relationships but not functioning properly because of some blockage and maybe following the wrong instructions? How many of us got some blockage in the area of relationships? Some not wax buildup, but some bitterness buildup. Maybe some unforgiveness buildup. Maybe, can I be real? Maybe some lust buildup. There's some buildup that's happening that is hindering us from actually being able to flourish properly in the area of our relationships, which brings us here to Psalm 127. Because here in Psalm 127, King Solomon, many believe, is the one who penned this psalm. Now, if you don't know anything about Solomon, Solomon was considered to be the most wealthiest person of all time. Richer than any other billionaire that you can imagine today, Solomon had everything. He had massive amounts of wealth. He had influence. He was the king at the time. He led in the building of a temple. He had a lot of notoriety. He was popular. Many believe that he was also visually appealing. His appearances were stunning. But if you do a character study, there was one area in Solomon's life where he had many challenges over and over, and that was in the area of relationships. They were often broken. And as a matter of fact, all throughout Solomon's life, the Bible even talks about how Solomon had multiple wives. We'll talk about that in a minute. He had multiple wives, something that God did not approve of. He had concubines. We'll talk about that in a moment. Some of us would call them side chicks today. You thought 2025 was new? People been doing this forever. Solomon was with women who did not believe and trust in God, unequally yoked. Don't that sound like today? Solomon was somebody who was considered to have much wisdom, but in the area of relationships, he often did not operate with godly wisdom that was at his disposal. Instead of following God's wisdom, he would follow the wisdom of culture, around him. He would oftentimes fall into this trap, like many people do, falling into the trap of these different inclinations and these urges that led him to experiencing unnecessary pain. And quite often, when you see Solomon writing throughout the pages of Scripture, he uses this word constantly in Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, and even here in Psalm 127, he uses this word called vanity. Everybody say vanity. Vanity means empty. It means pointless. Over and over, if you look in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon even starts off the book, talks about everything is vain. Work is vain. Making a whole lot of money is vain. Having a whole bunch of women is vain. Pleasure is vain. Accolades is vain. It's like, whoa, chill, man. But Solomon has experienced some things that many people don't experience. He's experienced the high points of life, these high points of pleasure. But then he quickly realizes all this stuff that I was chasing is vanity. And quite often when you see him writing, he's helping us to also see that our own efforts, our own ability, when we put our faith and trust in them to produce something good in our own life, it really is vanity. So he writes about relationships in Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes. And even here in the book of Psalms, he pens a whole nother book called The Song of Solomon, where he's talking about this romantic relationship that he has with somebody who he's dating, essentially how we would categorize, and then somebody he would eventually marry. But Solomon, y'all, overall, was somebody who had a whole bunch of relationship problems. So when he writes these words of wisdom that we see in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 5, he talks about avoiding lust, and he talks about finding a righteous woman and a virtuous woman towards the end of the book of Proverbs in chapter 30 and also in chapter 31. How can Solomon speak with so much authority? Because it's almost like he's saying, I've been there, I've done that. I know what works and I know what doesn't work. I've tried at all. Matter of fact, I'm going to read a scripture to y'all that probably really might mess with some of us because you might not have seen this in the Bible. Here's what 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 3 through 4 says. I think we got it on the screen. It says this: Solomon had 700 wives. Hold on, fam. 700 wives. Family, that math ain't mathin'. 700, y'all aren't stunned at this like I am. 700, not one and two, not 10, 30, 700. People talk about body count today. I told y'all I'm gonna be real in this series. Solomon was like, fam, I got y'all smoked. 700 wives. And then the Bible even says this. Bring it back up on the screen. It says, and 300 concubines. Now, I went to school for engineering. We learned a lot of math. I wasn't that good at calculus, but I'm good at adding. 700 plus 300 is 1,000. That's 1,000 women.
Ain't no way, bro.
That's 1,000 women that Solomon has some type of connection to. Some of y'all in here like, I wish I could go back to the Old Testament, you know what I'm saying? Can I help you understand something? Just because God allowed it does not mean God was okay with it. Because there was a whole bunch of things that Solomon did in his life that God was not approving of, and yet in the midst of that, God still showed grace and he still showed mercy. That should actually be a testament to some of us in here, because it lets you know that no matter how much you've wrecked your life and how much you and I have done things that go contrary against the will of God and the word of God, God's still going to be God. He's still going to be faithful. He's still good. Now, he's going to discipline you in different ways, but he's still good. But Solomon, y'all, had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Check this out. But here's where it gets bad. Verse 4, we got it on the screen. When Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away to follow other gods. He was not wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord his God as his father David had been. Do you see what happened? Solomon hooked up with the wrong people and it led him down the wrong path. Here's what this teaches us. Your relationships matter more than you think. Relationships are everything. Who you hook up with matters. Who you marry matters. Who you have kids with matters. Come on. Who you date matters. You could be with the right person and it sets your life on the right path. And you could be with the wrong person and it literally derail your whole life. And some of us know exactly what I'm talking about, because you're like, man, my life was doing so much better. But then when I said yes to this person, and when I went on a date with this person, and when I allowed this person to get close to me, and when I got close to them, and let's be real, when I gave this person my body and they gave their body to me, my whole life went downhill from here. And Solomon knows exactly what that means and what that looks like. He says, the Bible says his heart was turned from God. Can I give you a quick little indicator of how you know something is from God? God gives gifts, not for the sole purpose to turn you away from him. He gives you gifts to draw you close to him. So how you know a person is really sent from God is because if they're sent from God, they're going to push you closer to God. If it's truly a gift from God, it's going to draw you back to God. Can I help you also understand something? Just as God sends people, the enemy does too. Because the enemy knows what you like. He knows who you like.
How you like.
He knows the attraction. He knows that you like short and. He knows that you like tall and. He knows the smells that trigger. Come on, don't y'all get stiff on me right now. Don't get like this right now. Let's be real. Come on, it's the blueprint. We're going to be real in this series, okay? He knows what we like. God knows what we need. And Solomon, because he wasn't necessarily operating with a measure of self-control, ended up saying yes to things and to people that he should have said no to. But before we go in on Solomon and talk about his things and things that he's done, just like Solomon, there's many people right now that are constructing their lives, specifically relationships, according to their own knowledge, according to their own understanding. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. In other words, there's a way that thinks that this is the way. There's a mentality and there's a perspective. There's a way of thinking that we can have where we say, I'm gonna just do me. Can I help you understand something? If you and I have this mentality that I'm gonna do me, it's just a matter of time before you wreck me. Doing things our way, y'all, does not lead to anything good over time. Here's how the enemy deceives us. It might get us what we want in the moment. But here's what we don't see. I'm doing a message called Read the Fine Print. We don't read the fine print when it comes to the tactics of the enemy. So while he's appealing some things on the surface, there's some things behind the surface that we don't see, that he's banking on, that we don't see, so we can be caught up in what Jada Pinkett would call an entanglement. Entanglements. We'll do a whole message on entanglements. How we get entangled in some things and with some people that we should have never been connected to. But just like Solomon, when we get caught up, it leads to brokenness, it leads to drama, it leads to unhealth, it leads to anxiousness. And some of us are here today and we're navigating relationships of all kinds. But let's be honest, if you assess some things in your life, maybe you're single, maybe you're married, maybe you're a parent, whatever the case may be, if you would assess some areas in your life, some of you have gotten to this place where you've said this ain't working. This is not working the way that I wanted it to work. This is not working the way that I envisioned it to work. I'm working really hard, but this isn't working. Trying to be patient, but this isn't working. Try not to give it to temptation, but this isn't working. I tried to wait for the right person, but this isn't working. And because so many of our efforts aren't working, oftentimes it feels like it's in vain, like Solomon essentially says. It's not working. And this might not apply just to relationships, but some of us are right now in life and you're saying, life ain't working. I'm walking through some things right now. Dating isn't working. Some of us are right now in this place watching online. Marriage isn't working. Trying not to fall for the same type of person, but that's not working. I keep falling for the same type of person. They just got a different name, but the same spirit. Trying not to get caught up in these entanglements, but for some reason I keep getting caught up in this entanglement. Can I help you understand something? You often attract who you are. So if you don't like what you're attracting, I might need to undergo some transformation. I know it's not going to be a lot of amens today. I know it's okay. The Lord prepared me. I hear just fine right now, so I'm good. I feel brand new. The Lord is good. But y'all, when we look at our lives, many of us in this place, we feel like things are not working. We've been trying this, and it's not working, and this relationship is not working. This dating thing is not working. I've gone on this app, and it's not working. I tried to go this route, but it's not working. I tried to do this way, but it's not working. But can I let you know this, that even if you're in this place right now where it feels like things are not working, it feels like you're confused, you feel overwhelmed, you feel lost, you feel defeated, you feel discouraged, can I give you some good news? That no matter how dysfunctional life is, no matter how dysfunctional your relationships are, I'm here to let you know that no matter where you are on your journey, God has a better plan for your life. I'm here to let you know, if you're single, God has a better plan. If you're married, God has a plan. If you're dating, God has a plan. If you're a young person, God has a plan. If you're divorced, God has a plan. If you're a widow, God has a plan. I'm here to let you know that no matter where you are on the spectrum of life, God has a plan. One of the things that we see in the New Testament with our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, that when he came down from heaven to earth, one of the things that we see is that by trade, many believe that we see in scripture that Jesus was a carpenter. And a carpenter is somebody who builds things. They're good with putting things together. He was a master builder, which means builders, if you were a master builder, know something about having a plan. They had what many might refer to today as a blueprint. And can I let you know something about Jesus's blueprint? Jesus's blueprint always works. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. It doesn't matter what generation you're from. It doesn't matter what age you live in. The blueprint of Jesus Christ works. Why? Because he specializes in building things. And more importantly, he specializes in building lives. Pastor, how can you say that? Because the Bible says it. The Bible talks about how Jesus would encounter people who were sick, but then he would heal their bodies. The Bible talks about how Jesus would encounter people who were blind, but then he would open up their blinded eyes and restore their sight. The Bible talks about how people who were deaf all of a sudden got a touch from Jesus and they could begin to hear. The Bible talks about how people were hungry and Jesus fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 little loaves of bread. I'm here to let you know that if Jesus could feed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, if Jesus could heal people who were sick, and if Jesus could open up blinded eyes, and if Jesus can unstop deaf ears, surely he has what it takes to help us to build this area of our life in the form of relationships the right way. He has a better plan. His plan always works. Matter of fact, the reason why many of us should be celebrating that in here is because when you and I did things according to our own plan, we wrecked our lives and we messed up our lives and we made some terrible decisions and we got with some people that we should not have got with. We said yes to some things that we should have said no to. And on the surface, it looked like we had wrecked our lives. But some of you also got a testimony that even though it looked like you wrecked your life, Jesus, the master builder, Jesus, the heavenly carpenter, stepped into your life and began to turn your life around. He began to rebuild your life. He began to restore your life. And I just wonder, is there anybody here at the 11 o'clock service that got a story and a testimony that when Jesus stepped in my life was built better than it was before. My life was turned in the right direction. My life was healed. My life was restored. Thank God that we got a master builder who knows how to rebuild our lives. And some of us are like, man, I've made a mess of my life. Can I help you understand? Jesus specializes in mess. He majors in the mess. He knows how to build out of the mess. And even in this area of relationships, I'm here to let you know, no matter how messy it may be right now, maybe how distorted it is right now, maybe how it's not working right now, I'm here to let you know that Jesus specializes in rebuilding things. And I want to encourage some of you all who are here today, and this is a struggle for you, not just in this area, but just in life in general. Some of you are here today, and you feel lost, and you feel overwhelmed, and you feel exhausted. I want you to know that the Lord is for you, and that he has a better plan for your life. He has plans to prosper you, not harm you. He has plans to give you hope in the future. Culture's way will leave you frustrated. Culture's way will leave you exhausted. Culture's way will leave you discouraged. Culture's way will leave you confused. But God's way leads to life and life forevermore. God's way leads to peace. God's way leads to joy. God's way leads to hope. God's way leads to satisfaction. God's way leads to fulfillment. But God's way is the way that we had to choose. So here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, Meaning this, that there's a pattern, there's a way in which the world does things, even in the area of relationships. So the scripture tells us, don't conform to that pattern. Don't follow this pattern. Following this pattern, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, will cause you to crash out. It will cause your life to fall apart. Do not follow this pattern. Do not follow what you see on TikTok. Just because they back don't mean it right. Some of you are like, man, this resurrected just like Jesus. You know, this is back from the dead. YouTube is not the end all be all when it comes to the true pattern of how we're supposed to build things. Do not follow the pattern of this world. But the Bible says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind means to change the way you think. Meaning this, we have to change the way that we think about relationships. We can't think about it the way that culture does. Watch this. You can't think about it the way that your mama does. Mama love you, but mama might have been wrong. Come on. Mama ain't Jesus. Mama needs Jesus just like you. That I can't follow the pattern according to my upbringing if that don't line up with God. I can't follow the pattern of this world. I have to follow the pattern that we'll talk about in a moment according to what God says. I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I need to change the way I think about things. There needs to be a reformation of my mind, essentially, and a renewal of my mind. Especially in this area of relationships. And the reason why this is so important is because for those of us who are Christians and have given our lives to Jesus Christ, we said yes to Christ, our sins have been washed away, right? But this, here's what this also means. We're still on a journey. And so yes, Jesus has saved our soul. But now what he's trying to do is give us a new blueprint when it comes to dating. Because yes, you might be saved, but if you're using the same blueprint prior to when you were saved, things are still going to fall apart. So we need a different playbook. We need to renew our mind. We need to change the way that we're thinking about things. And what Psalm 127 does from a foundational standpoint, it begins to give us an idea of how we need to lean in to relationships. Even here, when you see this passage of scripture, it actually has much to do with relationships from a foundational standpoint. And here's the first verse. The first verse says this, verse 1, unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. So here's what we need to understand, that when it comes to building relationships the right way, here's what we need more than anything else. We need the Lord's presence. Everybody say presence. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers build in vain. Unless the Lord watches. Notice here, Solomon says it two times. Unless the Lord builds. And unless the Lord watches. The principle is that without the Lord, none of this will work properly. It might work, but it won't work properly. My hearing was working, but it was not working properly. I'm here to let us know that some of us have fallen into this idea of as long as this is working, it's good. I'm here to let you know, goods, as one person will say, can oftentimes be the enemy of greats. Do you just want a functioning relational life or a flourishing relational life? You could have culture's way or you could have the king's way. Because Jesus says in John 10 and 10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's not just for eternal life. That's also for everyday life. Which means this, that I need the Lord's presence in my relational life. Now, this is so important, y'all, because a lot of times when it comes to relationships, people leave God out. They do their own thing. But we need the Lord to be at the center of it all. We need him to be first. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Here's what Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says. We can bring it up on the screen. It says this, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Verse 17 in your Bibles. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Key word, he is before all things, which means Jesus comes before your bae. Jesus comes before your boo. Jesus comes before your kids. Jesus comes before your family. Husbands, Jesus comes before your wife. Wives, Jesus comes before your husband. Students, Jesus comes before your girlfriend or your boyfriend. Jesus comes first. He must be first place. He is meant to be the foundation. We need his presence. Because what you build on is going to determine the longevity of something. And as the Bible talks about how he is the chief cornerstone, we talked about this earlier in Matthew chapter 7 a few weeks back about building on the right foundation. If we don't have the Lord's presence in our life, things will not work the way that they're supposed to work. So we need his presence. And the dilemma that many people often have when it comes to dating and marriage and pursuing a relationship is they leave God out of the process. So we go at relationships without the presence of God. So we don't always invite him in. We try to build without God. I want you to write this down. This is important. Whatever we leave God out of, he's not responsible for. And what happens a lot of times is that we'll get into relationships and then we'll say, God, can you bless it? And God's like, no, consult me first. Then everything else will come after that. Y'all ever gotten a situation that you know you weren't supposed to get into and you said, God, if you just get me out of this? I'm going to see how real we can be here today. Because you quickly realized I had no business being in this thing. Can I help you understand something when it comes to relationships? This is one of them areas, y'all, that we can't really afford to get wrong. One mentor of mine told me this, that Edwin, choose your relationships wisely. Who you marry, who you're close friends with, so on and so forth. Because your relationships can be the closest thing to heaven or hell on earth while you're living. You need the right relationships. And those relationships need to be grounded in the presence of the Lord. We need to invite God in. So if you're dating right now, you need to be praying and asking, God, is this the person you want me to be with? Is this the person, did you send them? Like, is this from you, God? Some of y'all need to pray this prayer right now. God, if this is not you, end it. Some of us need to pray the prayer. Lord, if I'm single, do you want me to date right now? Is this a season where you want me to just be focused in on you and what you want me to do? Yeah. For some of us who are married right now, you need to be praying prayers. God, can you help me to love my spouse, to love my wife if I'm a husband, the way that Christ loves the church? Amen. Help me to love her properly. Amen. It don't matter if she get on your nerves. Amen. Then you say yes. And I do. Yes. You made the decision.
That's right.
Time to love.
All right.
Lord, help me to love. If I'm a wife, I need to be praying. Lord, would you help me to love my husband and to follow his leadership just as the church follows Christ? Amen. But Pastor, I'm my own woman. That's why you got problems. Because of pride and because of ego. Because you want to do your own thing and we don't want to invite the Lord's presence in. If I'm a parent, I need to be asking God, would you help me to love my children the way that you want me to? Help me to do it your way. I need to invite him into this process. And a lot of times what happens is relationships begin to crumble because we leave God out of it. It's almost like, God, I'm good. I got this. And here's one of the greatest things that sometimes God will do as a form of discipline and sometimes judgment in our lives. He will let you do what you want. Take his hands off. All right, bet. That's what you want to do. I tried to tell you. You got it, fam. You wanted him, even though I showed you all the red flags. I got some red flags over there. Can you hand me those? All them red flags. Showed you all of them. Every last one of them. All the red flags. Come on quick, son. All the red flags. God's like, no. She looked good, but she not godly. No. Yes, he's handsome. Yes, he's attractive, but he don't know me. No. And you know what some of us do? Come on, I've done it too, just in different areas of life, whatever the case may be. We see this, we see the red flags, and we still walk through it. Now you out here trying to finesse. And God's like, God's like, if you would just stop trying to finesse it and just submit to me, you wouldn't have to go through all these relational gymnastics to try to make something work that I never wanted to work in the first place. And so now what happens now when we get in this rhythm of going against what God wants or inviting him into our relational decisions and our relational life, it leads to problems, which is why the writer says, unless the Lord builds a house, his builders labor in vain. Because here's the thing, everybody's building something. And here's what it says, everybody's building in vain. Meaning this, they're putting forth a lot of effort. Let me help you understand something. You might be working hard at something. The question is not just are you working hard, but what thing are you working hard at? Because you might be working hard at the wrong thing, expecting certain results, and God is sitting here saying, listen, if you want things to work the right way, you cannot leave me out of that. You need me to be a part of this process. You need my presence. And here's what the scripture says. In Colossians 1, he is before all things, and by him all things hold together. If Jesus is able to hold the sun and the moon in this place, and the stars in this place, and the sea in this place, and all these other things in this place, do you not think that he also has the power and the ability by his presence and his power to be able to hold things together in the form of relationships in your life? Do you not think he has everything that you need to be able to flourish the way that he wants it to? I want you to write this down, that the best blueprint for relationships is for us to get out of the way and let God lead the way. You want to know what the best blueprint? Get out of the way. Stop trying to drive this. Get in the back seat. Let God drive. Let God lead. Stop trying to say oh, I got it. I'm good. I know everything. No. Let God lead. Here's the second thing. We not only need the Lord's presence, but we also need the Lord's principles. Verse 1, it says, "This builders labor over in vain." Builders oftentimes would follow guidelines. They would follow procedures. They would follow certain types of recommendations. And they would follow specific details and designs and measurements and these different guidelines. And just as they had guidelines to govern how they would build, we as people have guidelines when it comes to building relationships. And those guidelines are found in the Word of God. Which leads to the second point. We need God's principles. We need his principles. We need his truth. We need what his word ultimately says. Why? Because the one who designed relationships should be the one who defines relationships. God designed marriage, not culture. So I can't follow what culture says about what marriage should be. No, I have to follow what the designer says about what marriage is supposed to be. So here's what Psalm 128 says. How happy is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in his ways. Psalm 128, verse 1. How happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Meaning this, following God's principles in his word when it comes to different areas of life. Meaning this, when it comes to love, what does God's word have to say about this? When it comes to being in a relationship, what does God's word have to say about this? When it comes to marriage, what does God's word have to say about this? When it comes to dating, what does his word have to say about this? When it comes to being single, what does his word have to say about it? When it comes to parenting, what does his word have to say about this? When it comes to sexuality, what does his word have to say about it? Culture says, test drive. God says, walk in purity. We're going to get into it. We're going to do a whole message called Before You Say I Do and read the fine print and stop being thirsty. I need to be asking, what does God have to say about these different areas in my life? Because my relational perspective needs to be shaped by what God says, hear me, not by what I feel. You cannot follow your feelings when it comes to building relationships. I have to follow what God says. Oh, I just feel in my heart that this is the person of my dreams. Your feelings will mess you up. I just feel like they're a good person. Are they a godly person? Like, what are we doing here? Following my feelings is poor advice. I have to follow God's way, and I have to follow God's word. I want you to write this down, that oftentimes relationships fall apart because they're built on human preferences rather than God's principles. Oftentimes relationships fall apart because they are built on human preferences rather than God's principles. God's principles are clear, they are consistent, and they are credible. They are clear, they are consistent, and they are credible. Hebrews 13 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be led away by various kinds of strange teachings. It's interesting that the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, meaning that Jesus don't change. And if he don't change, neither does his word. And then the writer follows that up by saying this, don't be carried away and led astray by various kinds of strange teachings. What does this look like even in the area of relationships? We live in a day and time where people say things like open marriages. Strange teaching. We hear different types of things like, hey, do this to spice up your relationship. Strange teachings. We live in a day and time where it says, hey, if you're a Christian, it's okay for you to date somebody who's not a Christian. Strange. Come on, it's getting tight now. Teachings. We live in a day and time where it's like, it's okay for y'all to live together as long as you love each other. When the Bible says, flee the appearance of evil. Come on. Because we both know if y'all attracted to each other, living in the same house, something is going to pop off. Come on, can we be real? Can we be real? We live in a day and time where people say, oh, your wife, they didn't do what you want them to do. They didn't make your meal the way you wanted to. Divorce them. Your husband watched too much football. Leave him. Go find somebody else who's going to treat you like the queen of your dreams. We live in this day and time where culture gives us permission to walk in sin when it comes to relationships. That's not God's word. Now, by all means, I'm not saying that we mess around and just be submitting ourselves to things like abuse and things. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about these things that God's word is clear on that we try to finesse and get around because culture says it or because everybody else is doing it. This is why your friendships matter, because if you're around the right people who are trying to walk down the right path, you will also be more inclined and influenced to walk down the right path. If you're surrounded around a whole bunch of people who cheat on their spouses and you're around them all the time, it's a matter of time. Come on, can we be real? So I cannot build my life according to culture's ways. I have to build them according to God's principles. Because when I do this, here's the last thing that it leads to. I want you to write this down. It leads to the Lord's peace. Everybody say peace. Peace. Y'all, when we do it God's way, there's peace that comes with this. And so the writer here says in Psalm 127, in vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food. I want to pause right there because what Solomon is helping us to understand is that when you're doing things in your own strength, it's vain. You're working really hard. You're overexerting yourself. You're trying to make this happen. You're frustrated. You're tired. You're exhausted. It's not leading to anything good. You don't have any sense of peace. You don't have any sense of rest. But then he said, but if the Lord is the one who's building the house, if the Lord is the one who's governing this thing, if the Lord is the one who's leading this thing, there will be a measure of peace that you will walk in. There will be a measure of wholeness that you will walk in. You won't have to deal with as much drama as you would have to without God. You won't have to deal with as much craziness as you would have to deal with if you did not have God. And many times, people got all types of drama in relationships, and that's because God ain't building it. And God says, aren't you exhausted and tired? You tried dating your way. It didn't work. Aren't you tired? He says, try my way. You've been trying to do marriage your way, and your dad's way, and your mom's way. And God bless their heart, they did what they could, but they did not know certain things from the truth. God says, try it my way. And the Bible says, in verse 27, verse 1 of Psalm 127, in vain you get up early, stay up late, working hard to have enough food. But yes, he gives sleep to the one he loves. Meaning this, that God gives us rest. He gives us peace. Y'all, when you do it God's way, you ain't got to worry about whether or not your spouse cheating on you. I'm trying to help us, man. Like when we do it God's way, we don't got to deal with all the drama. And all the foolishness that comes. I don't got to deal with that. Ain't got to deal with that. Now, I know for some of us, it's like, well, Pastor, the foolishness is too late. I mean, I'm in this now. Like, what do I do? Can I help you understand something? Submit it to God. So it doesn't matter how far you've gotten off track. Orient yourself to God. Do it his way. Is it going to take work? Yes, it is. But when you do it his way, and when you invite him into that, there's a measure of peace that comes that you can't achieve on your own. Do it his way. Because peace comes. Here's what Psalm 4, verse 8 says. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, Lord, make me live in safety. I like what Pastor Charles Stanley says. He says, peace comes not when our situation changes. I love this. But when our hearts trust the one who never changes. Peace comes not when our situation changes, but when our hearts trust the one who never changes. Can we be real? Relationships can be filled with drama. They can be stress-inducing. They can be exhausting. Sometimes they might be unhealthy. Some people are thirsty so bad to be with somebody that they're trying to make things happen on their own, and it leads to so much problems. It leads to so much difficulty. It leads to so much anxiousness. It leads to so much worry. It leads to so much confusion, and God is saying, I have something so much better than you for you than all the stuff that you're experiencing right now. I got joy that I want to give you, and I got peace that I want to give you, and I got hope that I want to give you. I got fulfillment that I want to give you. I got satisfaction that I want to give you, but we got to do it his way. Can you imagine how stressed Solomon was with 1,000 women in his life? Come on, let's be real about this. Let's just take the 700 wives that he had. Come on, the stress he dealt with. Solomon, why your chariot at her house? Well, I mean, I'm on my way to you too. Hurry up. There's somebody else. Solomon, what your chariot doing over there? Babe, I'm coming. I'm gonna come see you too. Solomon, why you ain't come over here and mow the lawn? I promise you, babe, I'm on my way. Come on. You know how stressed this brother is. This is why he writing in the clear. Everything is vain. Everything. Just everything. Everything is vanity. I'm done. I'm done. Everything is vanity. I have nothing left to give. I'm done. It's over. Y'all don't make the same mistake I made. Please don't. Please don't. Can you imagine how overwhelmed, how stressed he was? Living outside of the will of God in this relationship. And it's like God is saying, I don't want this to be your life. Will your life have trouble? Absolutely, you still will. We talked about this in Matthew 7. Jesus talks about the person who's a wise builder who builds on the foundation of the rock and the person who's a foolish builder who builds on the foundation of the sand. A storm came to both houses. So we can't avoid storms. Let me redact that. There are some storms we can't avoid. There's other storms that we can't avoid. It's just life-lifing. But some storms we've experienced because you walked into them. And we created them. Some drama ain't this person crazy. No, you crazy. You created that. We need to own that. But y'all, there's going to be some things that happen that's out of our control sometimes. But what is in our control is how we are building. And it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. So can I ask you this question? How is your life being built right now? How is dating being built in your life right now? How is your marriage being built right now? How is communication being built right now? How is intimacy being built right now? Because when we let God do it his way, let me say it like this. When we let God cook, get out the kitchen. Let him cook. When we let him build our marriages, when we let him build us when it comes to dating, when we let him build and govern our lives when it comes to our relationship status, there is a measure of peace and grace and joy that we experience. I want you to write this down. I'm going to close with this. Submitting to God's process positions us to experience God's peace. Say it again. Submitting to God's process positions us to experience God's peace. I want to close with this thought because many times right here, family, this is where we struggle. We struggle when it comes to areas of relationships and jockeying to do our own thing. And I'm going to let you know this. You can build your life according to your own blueprint, to culture's blueprint, and you're going to get what culture gets. High divorce rates. Baby mama drama, unequally yoked. Or you can do it God's way. And I'm not saying any of this to shame any of us, to judge any of us, because I think all of us, myself included, have made decisions that have gone contrary to God. But I want you to know this, that if you come back to God and we say, you know what, I'm tired of following culture's blueprint because this ain't working. I'm going to follow his blueprint. I'm going to follow his way. His way is better. His way does lead to joy. You want to know the key to a flourishing marriage? Build it on Jesus. You want to know the key to a flourishing family? Build it on Jesus. You want to know how to flourish as a single person? Build this on Jesus. Can I even speak to some of us who are single in here? You're not half of a person because you're single. You're not insignificant because you're single. Culture holds up this whole idea that marriage is the goal. No, Jesus is the goal, not marriage. We find fulfillment in him. Don't get me wrong, marriage is a gift from God, but the season of singleness is also a gift from God as well. And what culture does is it gets us in this whole thing of wanting a different season than the one that we're currently in. So those people that's married that says, I wish I was still single. There's people that's saying, that's single, I wish I was married. It's almost like God is saying, I wish you would make me the focus. Because the reason why things aren't oftentimes working is because we focus more on doing things culture's way than on doing them the King's way. I want to say this one last thing. I want you to write this down. Today is a foundational message that the key to working relationships is to let God, write this down, work in the relationship. The key to working relationships is to let God work in the relationships. I can't do it my way. I got to follow his blueprint. I can't follow culture's way. Which means this, if I'm married, I have to learn to do things like show grace to my spouse and to be patient, to love. The little butterfly feelings, they come and go. Love is more than a feeling. Love is a choice. And culture romanticizes love, the feeling of it. But what love is more than a feeling. It's a choice. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, laying his life down. Wives, submit to your husbands. Follow your husbands. Can I ask us this? For those of us who want to be in a relationship, are you ready to die to yourself? I heard a pastor one time say, this right before we got married, he said this, at a wedding, two funerals take place. So what you mean? Two funerals. You're dying to your will. She's dying to hers. You're walking in God's will. It's not about you. It's about serving the other person. That's not what we hear from culture, though. Coach says, find the person of your dreams. Jesus says, you know what love looks like? Willing to lay down your life for that person. The way I did. And so no matter what season of life you're in, we got to do it God's way. We got to build it the way he wants us to. So for the next few weeks in this series, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to talk about dating. Talk about being single. We're going to talk about sexuality. Because culture's talking about all these things. And many people are in bondage because we believe the lies of culture. But Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. His blueprint is the truth. And I don't know about you, I want to follow his way. I want to walk in his truth, the truth. I want to walk in the freedom that he has for me. I want to experience the manifestation of multiplication in my own marriage and in my own house and in my own family. I want to experience the fullness of what God has for me in my own life. I don't want to just function. I want to flourish. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that says, I want my relational life to not just function this year. I want it to flourish this year. I want it to be fruitful. I want it to multiply the way that God wants it to. I want everybody to stand to our feet in this place. If you're here today, I want you to know this. That the key to all other relationships working properly in your life starts with your relationship with God. If that's not right, nothing else will be. And here's what the Bible says, that we were born in a sin shaped in iniquity, meaning this, that we were born into a relationship with God that was already fractured because of sin, sin that we inherited. And our sin is what separates us from God. But because God is so loving and so good, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to earth, to restore and repair and reconcile us, that relationship with God, to put us back into relationship with God. He did that through the cross by taking our sins upon himself, past, present, and future. He died, he suffered, he bled for our sins. He rose back to life on the third day to let us know that in him we could have a new beginning, that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And that's where some of you are right now, that before we talk about fixing these other relationships, the relationship that needs most fixing is your one with God. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, if you could be honest and say, Pastor Edwin, my relationship with God right now, it is broken. I don't have a relationship with God at all. I come to church, but I don't know him for real. I've been drifting from him. I've been wandering from him. But today, I want to come to him. Today, I want to enter into a right relationship with God. If you're here today under the sound of my voice and you want this new beginning, you want to do things God's way. You want to surrender your life to him. You want this new beginning and fresh start that Jesus promises to give us in 2 Corinthians. If this is you, on a count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand and shoot it up as high as you can. One, he says that this is the day of new beginnings. Two, any person who's in Christ is a new creature. One, two, three, wherever you are, shoot up your hand. Amen, amen. I see your hands. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I see your hands. Come on, wherever you are, shoot up your hand if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today. Maybe for some of you, you got a relationship with Jesus, but you've wandered away from him. Today is the day to come back. Come on, shoot up your hand wherever you are today. Come on. Amen. 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 For every hand lifted in this place and every person online, I want you to say these words after me. Jesus, I come to you today. Forgive me of my sin. I repent of it. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? I believe that you died for my sin, and I believe that you rose back to life to give me life. I receive your love. I receive your lordship. Be my Savior. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate those hands that went up today? Come on. I saw some hands go up in this place. Amen. Praise God.